Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And that song that was just played for you is from No Limits. It's called A Better Day. It comes out from their 2018 album, which is called Always With You. I hope that you did enjoy that song as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. My name is Thapelo Moloi. You and I are still best of buddies till 8 p.m. this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. And of course, 0734703520, 0734703520. That's the WhatsApp number that you can use to talk to us right here on the show. Adventist World Radio, SID Media on Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us and following us from there. And of course, as you do on Twitter as well, our handle is AWRSID_media. As you know, and I keep saying this, you can't be on Twitter and not have an underscore. So thank you so much for joining us. As you know, on Tuesdays and going forward for this season, we are going to focus on the business of technology, particularly because we obviously live in a technology-driven world, from the arts to business, religion, and every aspect of our lives is actually affected by technology. I mean, I was mentioning a little bit earlier the fact that, you know, we are connecting to you via technology-driven and technology-enabled equipment, right? So that's why you're able to join us, of course, for this segment and talk to us, of course. Our world is, of course, affected by technology, and I think a lot of us are talking about the fourth industrial revolution and the Internet of Things, right? But I think the world is now moving to the fifth industrial revolution. And so that just underscores the importance of technology in the world that we are living in. Of course, it makes life a little bit easier, but in the process, a lot of us are affected. So that's what we try and do every Tuesday. It's a complicated world, one that's certainly not easy. And of course, today's or this evening's discussion is also very, very complicated, one that has to do with cyber security. And this evening we have Umuyowa Mutemwa, who is of course a cyber security consultant and specialist, and we are trying to understand the business of cyber technology, it being a Tuesday. A lot of us, of course, when we hear anything that has to do with the cyber security, we are already imagining and thinking about threats. We are thinking about computers bombing, and of course the loss of our information. I mean, I mentioned earlier on that, you know, we've got a credit bureau that lost their information. Of course, some of us, our information is there and they've lost it, and it's just so scary if you think about it. It is important that we understand this particular segment and how things work in this field. And I'm joined by Munyowa, who's all the way in Senegal, I understand, leadership.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Tapel. I'm actually in Senegal for work.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be due back in South Africa on Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. We thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. It's really a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this discussion. I was thinking to myself, yo, all the things that happen in my mind now when I think about cybersecurity is exactly that, the information, computers bombing, and all those sort of stuff, you know? So you're here to help us understand that and put it into context. But before we get into that conversation, I just thought, you know, we could start here, you know, for people who don't know you, and I suppose I've never heard about you. Can you tell us just briefly a little bit about who you are? And I know it's a very difficult question. I always struggle with it as well. So please tell us who you are. Like, oh, what a difficult question. So as difficult as it might be, but how would you define yourself?
Okay. Yeah, like you said, I think this is a difficult question. But let's keep it simple. My name is Muyowa Mutemwa.
Yeah.
I consider myself a simple, quiet person.
Okay.
I was born to Adventist parents who were missionaries in the mid-1980s.
Okay.
And my father is an Adventist pastor, and he's the son of Adventist literature. His mother, and my mother is the daughter of an Adventist pastor as well. So in a nutshell, I think that should be sufficient to identify who I think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mtana Silvestri.
Exactly.
As some would say, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
It's one of those interesting things. days.
Yeah, certainly, right? I know that language in the Adventist Church is quite proliferated, and I always find it very interesting myself. But I also find it like it's so cliche, and I don't know why people say that. But nonetheless, thank you so much for that. Now, I just want to ask this question as well before we even get into the nut of the things. There's always this thing, when you're born in the Adventist Church and you grow up here, there is that one day when you actually decide to take the Lord as your Savior on your own without your parents' influence, and someone was born in the a pastor's house. Did you ever experience something like that?
Yeah, what's the interesting thing is the story of how I got baptized. My mother just decided, it was time. She took my hand, the call was made, and I made my way to the front. Albeit I didn't know what I was doing, but I mean that's how I got baptized. But I think in terms of my own personal journey, my parents had a reward system for reading books. I think I mentioned that my grandmother was a literature evangelist. My parents also did the literature evangelism at some point. So they sort of rewarded us by reading through the Conflict series,
Yeah,
Mrs.
Ellen
White.
White, yeah.
And but that wasn't really how I found my Adventism. I think it goes back to university, when I was now alone with just my older sister, when I was exposed to the world. And I think that's when I then settled and said, this is who I identify myself as.
That's beautiful. Would you say then that has had an impact or somehow shaped who you are today?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely, even the career that I'm on, I can see God's hand leading me throughout the career, and I see where I can add value to people's lives. So I think for me, it has shaped who I am today. Of course, life is difficult sometimes, and it's nice to be able to hold on to that faith, that keeps people going.
Certainly, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay. What is cybersecurity?
Yeah, you see, this is now a broad term, but I'm gonna try and sort of simplify it to the way I understand it and the way I share it with most people. I think for me, cybersecurity, it comes from a broad term that we normally look at called information security. And with information security, we are trying to secure anything that has some sort of information on it. So you could find a document, a document, and you're trying to make sure that the document stays in the safe. So that's where the information security comes from. Now, when it comes to cyber, we are talking about more the technological aspect of information. And I categorize cyber into two things. I think first one is information or technologies that have to do with people, and technologies that have to do with organizations. Organizations have got trademarks, trade secrets, things that make them operate, and people have got personal identifiable information, things that make them unique so that identities are not stolen. So I think the protection of those two things, the people and the organization, for me, that constitutes cybersecurity when it comes to technological systems.
Sure, that's quite technical, and I think you're gonna have to bring it down just a little bit for our listeners, of course, myself in the process there. So what does it involve?
So what it actually involves is, as human beings, we have a unique identity. You are Thapelo, I'm Moyowa, and it means that at home affairs, I should not be identified as Thapelo, meaning that I can go and take credit in your name, and I can do things in your name. So you're trying to protect a person's identity, and to ensure that that person doesn't incur injustices that is not due to them, right? And the key thing is injustices. For organizations, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure the lights stay on for organizations, because we live in a country that has very high unemployment rates, and for organizations to go off into the dark because of cybersecurity, I think that is a shame when we have professionals in the country. And I think it goes back to that to say, look, when you look at actually cybersecurity, a lot of what is stolen by people outside of the country. So we're seeing money leaving the country. So we're trying to make sure that the money stays with in the country, organizations continue to do business. And by doing that, we can actually help towards the unfortunate high unemployment rate that we have in the country.
Sure. I never actually thought of it like that, that it also contributes towards reducing unemployment or at least increasing employment in the country. Now, if I understand you quite very well, so it's people's identity and of course keeping making sure that we keep the company's lights staying on. It does sound like a very critical department process, whatever the case might be, both in organizations and people's lives as well. Is it underrated in a way, or people just don't have a proper understanding of its place?
Well, to some extent, you are correct that some people actually underrate it. It's an afterthought, you know. And it's something that we always have to educate people about, and especially people, because I think the larger impact is seen on people's lives. And I think we'll probably talk about it a bit more. We have to educate people to say, I think you need to take this a bit more serious than you are actually taking it. And I think at that point, that's when people then begin to sit up. But unfortunately, it happens a little bit too late sometimes when things have already gone wrong. That's when people say, "Get me help," and then you're like, "Okay, let's see where what we can do with this."
And for you, as someone who works in this space, when I suppose a company or someone comes to you later when already their data or information is, I suppose, compromised in a way, how difficult then does it become for you to remedy that situation? Or, how long of a process does it normally take? And I'm thinking here about the recent one, right, with the credit bureau that lost people's information and everyone's information was out there for anyone that could potentially use it for their own ends to actually take it and use it.
Look, that's a very important question. So remember when we were kids, we used to pray that little prayer, "Lord, help me to fix the things I can't fix and accept the things
Things
I
that I
cannot
can't, yeah.
fix." It's pretty much the same thing. And I think it becomes a bit interesting because I get called sometimes. You find there's been an incident, and my organization, which I think I can mention, right?
Yeah, you can, certainly.
So the CSR will be called to say, "Look, just help us in terms of this." And I think at that point, we get in, and I'm going to give you an analogy just to give you an idea. When someone breaks into your house, our responsibility is to then forensically understand how this person was able to break into the house. Did they break a window? Did they squeeze themselves through the window? Did they use Vaseline? There'll be remnants of Vaseline on that butler, whatever, or it will be stretched. And then obviously you get indications of what they've stolen. And we go through that process. So it takes time. We deal with fingerprints, we deal with digital identities. One of the interesting things that actually comes out of computers is you've got this digital identity, and people are thinking, "You're talking about fingerprints, facial recognition." We're actually talking about how you type on a keyboard. The way you type on a keyboard, whether it's on a smartphone or on a laptop, it's uniquely identifiable to you, and we can trace it
Is
back to
it?
you.
Sure.
It becomes a bit more interesting. So it takes time to actually go through the process of, understanding what exactly has happened, understanding what is stolen. The interesting thing about cybersecurity is, when you say my data is stolen, but me as a police officer, I'm looking at your laptop and your data is right there. Now you're trying to tell me, "No, it's been copied." Telling someone this information or this has been copied is very difficult. But fortunately for us, there are tools that we work with that can actually tell us, yes, this data was copied, and it was copied onto this device, it was done by this person. So it does take a bit of time, and that's where we tell the organization, "Look, someone has already stolen your data. Right now, you cannot do anything about it, but we can put things in place to sort of make sure this doesn't happen again." And I think there's also a fine line there where, when you get to a crime scene, it's not a matter of "I told you so." It's a matter of "This has happened. Where can we now pick up the pieces and move forward?" And I think that becomes an important thing when you get at that stage.
That's interesting. So forensics and forensic processes and everything also play quite a critical role in this space, trying to find out what happened. And that analogy that you use is so you know, it's painted in my mind now, and it's sitting there. Like, now that explains why this is important. Now, I used to work some donkey years ago, but I used to work at an organization where, you know, they would say to us, never leave your laptop unlocked, for instance. So when you stand up, whether it might be that you're going to make a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, always lock your computer. You know, and never save things on your desktop. You know, either save them on the company's shared drive or, you know, on the cloud or whatever the case might be. Is that to avoid a cyber attack? And if so, what is a cyber attack?
Okay, hey, what is a cyber attack? Maybe let's discuss the cyber attack just a bit. So the interesting thing that example that I just mentioned was from a few years ago. Things have now changed. I go to hacking conferences in the States sometimes, and one of the things that we're told now is it's not even a matter of locking your laptop. Do not leave your laptop unattended. Because there are tools that we use in our space where you can remove a password. It doesn't take long to actually remove a password. We're talking about a matter of minutes. In some cases as well, we've had cases where someone will say, "Can I please charge my phone?" They come with their phone, which is sort of somewhat switched off, and they come with a charging cable. Within the cable that you charge, that little piece that goes into the USB, you can actually now put in a whole computer there. So as soon as you plug it in, it begins to run a script on it. So it has sort of changed and progressed over the years, to such an extent that it's now become a do not leave your laptop unattended. When you're at the airport, you're not, or in public, don't just charge from anyone, you know, things like that. So now when we talk about a cybersecurity attack, we're just basically in a simple sense, we are saying someone who doesn't have access, who shouldn't have access, is now getting access to that information or that system or that data or whatever it is, whether it's personal identifiable information or it's a company's trade secret. We want to make sure that someone who only someone who is authorized has access to that.
That's scary. I want to explore this one, particularly. I know we are going to explore it a little bit later, but I just want to explore. So we travel, and we are in airports and whatnot, and you see this charging thingy there, and you're like, "Hey, my phone is at 1%. It's gonna switch off now. I wanna call someone very quickly before I get into the flight." So you're saying that's risky.
I'm saying it's risky. I'm not saying that you will always find a threat there. I'm saying it's risky. Yes. So generally, what I suggest, and I think this goes for everyone, make sure you're prepared on your own. You know, you've got power banks these days. You charge your laptop overnight before you travel. Those things would help. But then also, I think sometimes we don't think that we are going to be targets. We think people who have money are going to be targets. But unfortunately, when it comes to cyber, you can be a target. As long as you've got something to give, you can be a target. So I think sometimes we take it for granted to say, "Look, I don't have money. Let them come." But
Certainly.
you might find that your identity is more important to them. And your identity might not mean that they're going to the bank to go get money. It means that they will perform a crime and say that it was you. Now you must go to jail. So identity becomes something that is even sold online. You can assume someone's identity. You've got all the papers and everything. So that becomes a bit of an interesting thing.
Okay, so there's a risk with, you know, using the charging cables at these open spaces. What about free Wi-Fi hotspots? Are they also risky?
Okay, so the interesting thing about free Wi-Fi hotspots is over the years it has changed. We started off with do not connect on to free Wi-Fi. And I'm trying to see how I can simply explain this. So with free Wi-Fi, because anyone can join, you can be sitting next to someone who's doing a legitimate transaction, banking transaction, and next to a cybersecurity attacker. So you're both sitting on the same network. But however, Wi-Fi has changed. Hotel Wi-Fi has changed, and also apps on phones have changed. I was playing around recently with a project, I think in COVID, and that project was basically to say, if someone is trying to fiddle around with the application's communication on your phone, what would the application respond? In what way would it respond? So one of the interesting things that we found was the application refused to send data, because someone was fiddling around with the information. So you do get applications that are smart, especially in South Africa. I think when you look at the world, our banking system is light years ahead of even countries that are fully developed. You know, I'm not sure if they're fully developed, but well developed countries like the US, the UK, we are light years ahead. But unfortunately, it still poses a risk. So I would generally say, look, you can do your social media on free Wi-Fi hotspots, but I would probably wink an eye at banking, because you might not really know how sophisticated or smart that attack goes on the network will be able to do. But unfortunately, the funny thing is, as you travel, you realize that you're away from your usual network providers in South Africa, you know, your Vodacoms, your Telkoms, Cell C's, and MTN. Now you have to use a hotspot to do your stuff, and that's where a lot of people have then introduced this thing called VPN, virtual private networks, that sort of hide your traffic on that network. So there is a balance there, but generally the apps on the phone are able to keep our information safe when we're on free Wi-Fi hotspots. But I wouldn't say someone can now go and do their banking there. I'll probably still raise an eye on that. So, yeah.
Sure. That certainly a bit of makes me a little bit less edgy to know that at least some of these apps they do have that, because I mean for people like us who are not necessarily clued up on these things, we're just downloading an app and that's it, and we're working on it and we never think about such things. And yeah, I think it's also quite comforting, makes it a little bit comfortable to know that our banking system, it's our money, Pella. We work very hard for that money. So to know that at least our systems are quite advanced is something that really gives us comfort. But I take the warning that you are putting out, that sometimes certain things just avoid doing them on that. I think I once seen in some Wi-Fi hotspots where you join and it literally tells you, Jorge, you're not the only one on this Wi-Fi. And me not even thinking about it, just say okay, and then ask you, do you want to continue? I'm like, yes, I want to continue. But it did warn me, didn't it? It did warn me that there are other people here.
Look, it's something that we as people, and I think one of the interesting things in my field is the element of psychology, how people behave. Behavior has become something that is well studied within my field, where people come from a psychological background where they've done the psychology and they want to get into cyber security, because the human factor and why human beings do the things that they do, it becomes very interesting. Because for example, and I like this story a lot because it happens in South Africa almost on a daily basis, where someone's WhatsApp is taken over by whoever, we don't know who these people are. They start to send these messages, hey, I'm in trouble, please send me money. And then when you talk to this person, they're like, send it to this specific number. And it happens a lot. And one of the things why we fall to that in some cases, it's because if it's coming from someone superior, let's say like at work, your manager sends you that, you know, that WhatsApp message to say, please send me an e-wallet, I'll send it back to you later on. As human beings, you know, by the way we behave and the way we do things, we want to be in favor with someone. And so you find someone who's like an intern or a junior person, sending that money without even thinking twice about how much money they're sending it, whether it's their last money, because they want to be in a good standing with someone. And I think that becomes a challenge. And one of the things that I always say to people is, I'm more than happy to send you an email, but I want a voice note. And my friends and family think I'm always joking when I say this. If you ask for a voice note, if it's not the person that you're talking to, they will never send a voice note. You can trust me that way.
No, that's a good way. I've learned something. I've learned something. I never thought of it that way. Sure. Okay, here's a question here. Does the POPIA Act, is the, oh, let me read it correctly, is the POPIA Act also meant to help us with cybersecurity?
Yeah, so I think that was one of the important things that I was hoping that we would discuss.
Yeah.
POPIA is very important for individuals because in POPIA, there lies the protection of personal identifiable information. It's the act
Yeah.
that came into play, I
Yeah.
think, is it last year or this year? I cannot remember.
Yeah.
But that POPIA Act is very important in the sense that it's meant to protect personal identifiable information about me and you. So what is that information, you might ask? It's my telephone number, you know, from being harassed by telemarketers,
Yeah.
right? I know they have to earn a living, but sometimes you can only handle so many phone calls.
Yes.
I think even Jesus finds days when he just needed to be away from the multitude.
Yep, that's
So
correct.
you've got your telephone number, you've got your home address.
Yeah.
We live in a country where politicians are persecuted on social media. Now
Yes.
imagine if someone has the home location to maybe a family member of that politician. You can
Eish.
just imagine the trouble that they would get into.
Yeah.
So home location, the amount of money that you earn, or where you think, there's a lot of information about yourself, your ID number, things like that. So that kind of information, the POPIA Act is basically meant to ensure that organizations that collect personal identifiable information, you know, like I mentioned, your email, your number, your home location, that they only collect what they're supposed to collect, and that they disclose it to you as a user to say, we are co collecting this information. Are you comfortable with it? And then the second thing is, once they've collected it, they need to keep it safe. And I think you mentioned one of the organizations in South Africa that was breached recently, that lost customer data of South African citizens. And I'm yet to see the government say this organization will face these penalties, because at that point we already had POPIA and Act. So I think we need to make it a bit more difficult for organization, or we need to hold organizations accountable for citizen information that gets lost, because we need to protect our citizens. We need to protect them from people who want to exploit their behavior. You know, if we know that you are a nice person, we need to make sure that someone in Russia doesn't send you a message to say, can you please e-wallet this money? You know, so yeah, in a nutshell, POPIA is very important. And something that goes with POPIA, I think it's the Cyber Crimes Act. The Cyber Crimes Act means that once we have identified someone who has acted maliciously, had access to information, we must be able to prosecute that person. They must be able to go to court. And as us as forensic specialists in the digital space, must be able to provide information to the authorities, information that can make sure that that person is held accountable. So it becomes very important, and people should take it very seriously in South Africa to say that the government has taken the correct measures to make sure that citizen information is protected. So I think it becomes a very important thing. Yes.
Sure. I just want to get on that tip of that question that came through to say, so these telemarketers, where and how do they get our information? Because the moment they call you by your name and your surname, and you're like, okay, so this person clearly knows me because they call me by my name. And naturally, I think it's the psychology that you're referring to. When someone calls you by your name and even surname, you kind of warm up to them. So you kind of give them an ear and want to listen to what they're saying, and only to find it's a telemarketer or whatever. But somewhere they get their our information somewhere. And is it right, the way they are using that information, maybe how they are, I suppose, collecting it? Are they is it that thin line between what is acceptable and unacceptable that they are playing it?
Okay, so that's a very difficult question. I know the simple answer to that question, and thanks for that. But unfortunately, there are things you cannot say. So
Okay,
I'll
cool.
try and say it in a safe way.
Yeah.
When you look at credit unions, right,
Yeah.
in South Africa,
Yeah.
unfortunately, even around the world, you can pay for information to get
Okay.
some of that information.
Okay.
It's available at a price. So
Yeah.
there are organizations that do pay for it. And that's how credit unions function, because they're supposed to make sure that credit information is available upon request. They
Yeah.
collect it and they make it available to organizations
Oh,
that
I
need it.
see.
Now, the challenge comes when someone has paid for that, rightly paid for it, and they misuse it. So misuse can happen through reselling that information or maybe losing the information. I think in the case of the trade the union that lost its
Yeah.
information, someone actually had paid for it and they actually lost it on purpose. So here you find how trade unions give access that the information to telemarketers, companies
Yeah.
that pay for it.
Yeah.
And I think in South Africa, according to the Papaya Act, you can actually then say to the organization that has called you to say, can you please remove my information? And they should be able to be in a position to remove it. The Act allows you to do that. So look, we must also understand that it is a business model, unfortunately, where people earn a livelihood, but they must just follow the correct rules of doing that. And I think that's the key thing, there. Yeah.
Sure. I think it's a pity we're running out of time, but I think this conversation is one we should have again. So, what are some of the most safe and unsafe cyber activities that we should avoid as people when you're playing in the cyberspace there?
Okay, so you see, for one, I think identity becomes a big thing. Me identifying the fact that you are Thapelo and you identifying the fact that I am Joy. When we first spoke, there had to be an element of information exchange that I then realized, okay, you are Thapelo. And then you realize after some exchange of information that I am Nuyoa. So one of the things that people need to learn how to do and do correctly is identifying the person that they're talking to. And I don't want to mention a lot of things because there's a lot that can be mentioned. But if people can get this one thing right, a lot of things can be avoided. For example, when you're chatting to someone, we always take it for granted that you're talking to the right person. I think people need to learn that you don't just pick up the phone and say hi to someone. You must talk to people and verify that you're talking to the right person before you share personal information. I mean, some of us are going through the most in life. Life has been difficult for us. There are things that are happening to us that we are sharing with people that we haven't confirmed that this is the person that I'm actually talking to. So it becomes a challenge, and people need to realize that identifying the people that they're talking to is absolutely important.
Sure, that's beautiful. And yeah, we take it for granted. I pick up a call and I take it. I'm talking to the right person, especially on WhatsApp. You're busy WhatsApping each other. You take it for granted, and only to find that some maybe it's not even that person that you are talking to or you think you are talking to. So, always important to verify that. I perhaps I'm asking here a very difficult question, and maybe you can let me know if it's not answerable for now. Why do people get involved in cyber attacks? In other words, why would someone decide to attack people's information? Is there a business there?
Okay, so I think it's a very important question. So look, when you interact with people who actually get themselves involved into cybercrime, you realize that they have something to gain out of it, or they have intentions that they wish to implement. So the gaining aspect could be money, it could be reputation. So in our field, the more machines you compromise or break into, the more you gain a reputation. Of course, you do not disclose your real name in such a case. They usually use pseudonyms and things like that. The reputational aspect becomes important because you are then paid for specific jobs on the dark web. The dark web is a place where illegal things happen. In some cases, they do gain money, where you can steal someone's money or you can steal an organization's money. In some cases, you want to destroy your someone you don't like, their reputation. And it could be an organization, it could be a person, and reputational damage becomes a big thing. For example, if you look at, let's say, a reputable organization that loses people's information, all of a sudden we don't want to deal with that organization. Let me give you, for example, I think Facebook. When Facebook lost a lot of information during the Donald Trump elections, A lot of people then say, I'm going to go delete my Facebook account. But the interesting thing about that was they forgot that Facebook, well, owned Instagram and WhatsApp. So they deleted Facebook, but nothing really happened. So reputational damage becomes a big thing then. In some cases also, people want to see the companies that they compromise being fined because of a regulation that they've broken. You know, if it's papaya, if they've broken it, they want to see them being fined. And in some cases, financial losses can bring an organization to its knees. I think I talked about employment and organizations needing to keep their lights on. So you can actually bring your competitor to their knees if they suffer financial, excuse me, if they suffer a financial a security breach.
So I suppose that's one of the disadvantages for making sure that your organization has some cybersecurity system or process in place is the reputational damage that comes with the potential loss of information if it ever does happen.
Yes, so I think for organizations, it's reputational damage, your regulatory fines, and also your financial losses. Those become very important. And I think for individuals, the disadvantages is picture, for example, you've got a lot of single parents in South Africa and around the world. Here's a single parent just barely making ends meet, and they have a little money in the bank account. You take that money away from from that
Ish.
single parent. All of a sudden, the children,
Ish.
you know, they're stranded. They can't go to school.
Yeah.
There's no food on the table. Things are going wrong for that family, and so that becomes a bit of a problem when people don't take cybersecurity seriously, protecting the identity. And I think one of the things people miss when they say when we say protect your identity is, you know, people take pictures in front of their car's number plates, in front of the homes that they stay in. They post their children online. And I think people need to take it a bit more serious to say people can actually then follow you. And sometimes it's nice to do these things, but sometimes we post things on public networks. We don't make our accounts private. So that also becomes a bit of an issue. In a nutshell.
That's beautiful. There's a question here from Lee. She says, when it comes to cookies, I think this one is a very important one as well. Cookies, why must I accept them before I surf the net? What are those cookies and what do they do?
Okay. Well, these are not cookies that we get from our
Yeah,
grandparents,
Dominic.
especially grandma. Unfortunately, cookies are very important when it comes to cybersecurity. Those ones are important too, but these ones are important as well. So cookies basically, what they do is, let's take for example, and I'm gonna use Facebook. I hope no one who is listening is a Facebook employee. But let's say, for example, Facebook wants to make their services better. So they need to be able to track you across your multiple devices. So tracking you across your multiple devices, they can be able to understand your customer experience and be able to understand where can we actually improve our services. So cookies become important in that sense to say, hey, listen, we're going to collect some information about you, or we're going to track you across your phone, your laptop, wherever you are, and we want to make sure that you get a better customer experience. So that's where cookies come in. Cookies also are used for session management. So logging into an application or logging into a website, that session is actually handled by a cookie. So there's a cookie field being set there. But unfortunately, like anything else, cookies have been misused. Whether they're not protected, one of the interesting things I had a discussion this afternoon with one of the clients that we're handling here was they have a website, but they don't handle their cookies in a secure way. Meaning that someone can actually steal those cookies, even though they have no intentions of tracking a user, but someone can actually misuse that stored information. So going back to papaya, you're collecting information about someone, but you're not protecting it, you know. So cookies become very important, but also at the same time, organizations have been warned that they only need to collect information that is necessary to improve customer experience and must also be fair, and they must disclose to say we are actually collecting this information. Are you comfortable by staying on this website and going ahead. And I think the interesting thing is there are some websites that you can say no to their cookies and they allow you to continue on the website. There are some websites that you say no, they redirect you to another website. So it becomes an interesting catch 22 of some sort.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Now, I don't know if this is a matter of cookies or what, but you know, sometimes I think this happened to me one time, must be last year or the other year, where my I got a message on my Gmail, for instance, that told me where I have been for the entire year, where I flew, you know, the places I visited. Is that a cookies thing as well?
No, so that is not a cookies thing. That has to do with your location that you
Okay.
have freely agreed Google to track and
Okay.
keep history of your location. So that has to do with Google. And what Google actually allows you to do is
Yeah.
they allow you at the moment to delete your information. You can request for your information to be deleted by
Yeah.
Google. And this comes as a result of thank you very much to the European GDPR, which
Yeah.
is their original version of Papaya,
Yeah.
where you can ask a website the right to be forgotten on the internet,
Okay.
where someone can type in your name and surname and nothing comes up. It doesn't mean that the information is deleted from the internet. It just means that it cannot be shown as a result on Google. So in some cases, people do actually want that ability to be tracked. And when people are telling stories to say, I've been in this place, I've been in that place, if you can have evidence, that supports that you've been there other than pictures, it tells a nice story,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So it's an option that you can opt into, or you can say, no, thank you, I will not be able to do, I don't want you to do this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't take most of the questions, but here's one. I suppose, is it true that the internet doesn't forget?
Yes, it's an unfortunate thing that the internet doesn't forget. And I think I just mentioned that to say, look, you can at the moment ask Google that do not present any search results on me.
Yeah.
And there are websites, for example, Have I Been Pwned, PAWN,
Yeah.
where you can go there, put in your email address, and it will tell you all the websites that have been compromised that have your email, even the
Sure.
passwords that you have. And you can go to those websites like Have I Been Pwned and Google, and you can tell them, I do not want to be searched anymore. What it means is they will stop indexing your results, your search results. Think about it this way. You've got a page in a book that is not part of the table of contents. That's what it basically means, but that page still exists in the book. So the book will still have the page in there, but it becomes a little bit harder to find that page, but the page will still always be there. So, and that's where I think it becomes a challenge for us who are growing up in this generation where we're posting everything online. But at
Yes.
some stage, we're going to say, I don't want this information to be online anymore. But unfortunately, your children, my children,
Eish.
our grandchildren in the future will be able to see what mom, dad, grandparent was like when they were younger, because
Yeah.
unfortunately, the internet doesn't forget.
Yeah, that's very scary. That's very
And also
scary.
fun too.
And fun too, yeah. I mean, I think the good side of
Yeah.
the maybe that's what we need to do. You know, we need to be careful about what we post. It's better when it's good things that come up, you know. The ones maybe that where you are frustrated with your I suppose your boss at some stage, you put it up on the internet. It will be found. It will
Yeah.
come out, you know. So those avoid putting on the internet, because the internet doesn't forget, of course. Now I just want us to get into this one. Sounds like a very interesting field. Sounds like a field that, you know, a lot of young people could get into. So what does one need to study to get into this field as we close?
Okay, so let me put it this way. This is a very interesting field that I sort of was led into by God, I think, to some extent. And it has allowed me to travel the world, to see places, and I've enjoyed it. And to get into this field, I think I came from a background where I loved physics and biology. But I wasn't good at computers and I wasn't good at mathematics. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, computers became an interest that I had always had in the back of my mind. So for people who are looking to get into this, and I think Even those who are working, you can
Mm.
actually do a career change into this.
Yeah.
We've had people coming from law backgrounds to handle stuff on cybersecurity law.
Okay.
We've had people coming from psychology to handle stuff on cybersecurity behavior
Yeah.
of people, of human
Yeah.
beings. We've had people coming in from being doctors to tell us the cybersecurity machines that they work with, how can they protect them? So you can come in from any background, but
Okay.
if you really want to be more technical
Yeah.
and only focus on the technical aspect,
Yeah.
things like mathematics, computer science, are very important, the
Yeah.
sciences. And also, I think to keep it simple, people need to have this idea of being inquisitive. I'm one person who, when I see a door, I want to open it.
Oh, okay. What's in there
I want to
behind
open it. I want to see what's
that
behind it.
door? Yeah.
And I think that has to speak to the element of being inquisitive, desiring to know more. And I think in my own spiritual journey, in my own Christian journey, it's something
Yes.
that I want to know more about this God that we serve.
Yes.
I want to
Yes.
understand Him.
That's
And
beautiful.
these are the things that I advocate for, to say, listen, if you want to do cybersecurity, you must be inquisitive. The other thing is that I enjoy is I want to know why people do things the way they do them.
The way
What
they do.
makes them do those things?
Yeah.
So sometimes when people talk, I sit back and I watch them. And sometimes I find myself in the middle of a conversation, not knowing why am I in this heated debate and what's the point of all of this. So
Wow, okay.
being able to take stock
Yeah.
of yourself at any time, being
Yeah.
able to pause and ask yourself, what's happening here? I think it becomes a key thing, because therein lies the point to say you can think beyond the normal. And I think that becomes critical.
Well, certainly I can tell you for certain, and I hope it is, because I think for me it is, that you are not lost in this conversation. This is certainly a conversation that I think was quite very, very important. Now you're speaking in Cape Town, I believe, at a conference. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh yes, I didn't expect that one would come up. So I
Sorry.
think in October,
Yeah.
I've been asked to speak at the CISO Africa.
Yeah.
I do a lot of speaking engagements, and
Yes.
CISO Africa is basically Chief Information Security Officer for officers for organizations.
Yeah.
In some cases, you do find Chief Information Security Officers for businesses, so they call them BISOs. So I'll just be having a conversation around how can they take cybersecurity to the next level. So I tend to be more interested in helping organizations mitigate that the risk of doing business. Because one of the things that I've picked up through reading publications is that a lot of organizations, their CEO wants the organizations to grow. They want to grow from having 2 customers to having 10 customers. And one of the interesting things that we deal with at the CSR is helping them manage that risk, so that risk doesn't become a factor to the threat, or the threat to their idea of trying to grow their business. Minimize that risk so that they can focus on the key things that make them as an organization. Making sure that they get customers, making sure that they're delivering services, making sure that their reputation is enhanced. And that's where one of the things that I'll be speaking about in Cape Town.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, my brother. I really appreciate it. It has quite been an interesting discussion, and one that I think me and my producers here certainly want to have a part two about, because there's quite a lot that I think we need to unpack here, and helping us to be much more cognitive of what we do, especially in the cyberspace and all that. But we want to thank you so much for taking the time all the way in Senegal. May God continue to bless you and the work that you do, and of course, continue to enlarge your territory. Thank you, and good luck also with the conference as well. May it all go very well. But I know we're going to touch base very, very soon before we even go to that conference. But thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. That was Elder Muyowa helping us to understand cybersecurity and why it is important. Guys, I've learned a lot. I have certainly learned a lot. That website, Have I Been Pwned, is a website that you can go to so that you can check if indeed you have been pwned. Eh? Yeah. So please do go and check that, which tracks a lot of, your presence and whether some of your information has been used there to compromise on a lot of websites. So please do check that one out. But for today, this is where we are leaving it right here on Business Sense. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. And of course, thank you so much to Umunyawa helping us with this one. It's very, very important. Tomorrow, we are talking about small businesses and we're looking at township economy. So please do join us tomorrow between 6 and 8 p.m. But until next time, may God bless you and keep you. May he cause his countenance to so shine upon you and give you peace until we meet next time. Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.